Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, I'm excited tonight to continue a series that we started with worship, and then we found ourselves talking about praise. And if you've been here the last couple Wednesdays, it's turned into a praise party. Yeah. What is a praise party? A praise party is where we are still having a blast, but you don't have to be at a club. You don't have to be at the quinceañera. You don't have to have a girls' night out. It is in the presence of God where such a joy comes over your life. Doesn't mean that everything's going perfect. It just means that God is so good that even in the midst of difficulty, I'm still going to praise God. Even in the midst when all hell breaks loose, I'm still going to give God praise. Why? Because even though life might have knocked me down, God is still on the throne. Anybody in this place love to give God some praise? Just give God a shout, amen? And so I have been really jazzed about this topic as it pertains to praise, because my wife says it and I didn't really think of it that way, but a lot of people talk about worship, and worship is powerful. I'm not trying to minimize what worship is, but there is a genuine attack on this thing called praise, because sometimes people, when you think about praise, they just think about, well, don't get crazy, you know, you're going to jump off the chandeliers, run laps around the church, you know. And I think just sometimes people don't understand what praise is, that part that really is a very biblical word. If you ever wanted to do a study, just look up how many times the word praise is in the Bible. And it speaks to a very unique part of shouting, and a unique part of just something that I'm going to break down even deeper today. And so I'm excited to teach this if you're excited to receive it. Okay, I cooked up a meal. It's been simmering, out of the oven, fresh bread. Come on, somebody, all right? So if you didn't get a message outline when you walked in, lift your hands. Ushers will give that to you. Lift your hands. Points to my message as well as the verses I'll be reading to you tonight. And I want to continue this thought on praise, looking at the account in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were in prison. Acts chapter 16. Turn with me to Acts 16, verse 23 to 26. Once you got your Bibles and your message outline, stand to your feet with me and let's read together the Word of God. Acts 16, verse 23 to 26. And when you're there, you could say, I'm there. If you're not, say, give me a minute. I heard someone say, give me a minute back there. All right, no problem. I just got 33. There's a ticking time bomb back there. Something is going to explode. I'm just joking. It's my time. All right. Praise the Lord. It's not like I listen to it, though. No, I'm just joking. Come on, somebody. I am messing. I do. I keep an eye on the clock. Praise God. Are you there? Acts 16, 23 to 26. All right. Let's read together. Well, I'll read for you, and you can follow along with me. Out of the New Living Translation is the text I'll be reading out of. But the Bible reads like this. Speaking of Paul and Silas, who were put into prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for living for God, the Bible says in verse 23, they were severely beaten. Someone say severely. Okay, so this was like they were beat up. Life had beat them up. It wasn't like I stubbed my toe on the corner of the coffee table and, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose my salvation. Or I stepped on a Lego. Come on, somebody. This is seriously like life has beat them up. Have you ever felt like life has beat you up? Okay. Remember, okay? It's what we do in those moments that really say our faith. The Bible says that when they were thrown into the prison, the jailer was ordered under specific order to make sure they did not escape. And if you don't think that that is a picture of what the enemy is trying to do to every single person in this room, to your marriage, to your children, he is trying to put you in a prison and trying to make sure that you never escape from that difficulty. Oh, but I got a friend named Jesus. Come on, somebody. Watch this. Verse 24. The Bible says, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon, clamped their feet to the stocks. In other words, they were locked up. And in verse 35, around midnight, Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They were praying and they were singing hymns. They were singing the Paschal Psalms, meaning praises. They were praising God when they shouldn't have been praising God. They were praising God, and it did not make sense to the devil's mind. It didn't make sense to the people next to them. But instead of being depressed, they started getting their praise on. And the Bible says, and God and the other prisoners were listening. The Bible says, 26, suddenly there was a massive earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundations, and all the doors flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. And the point is this, that when we can begin to praise and begin to let our inner reality of what we know about God smack our outer reality, things got to move where the presence of God is. Somebody say amen. Okay, I want to talk to you tonight, part two of a message that I've entitled Praise Break. Not Prison Break, because they got out of prison. Praise Break, okay? Praise Break. Bow your head, let's play one more time. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence tonight. We've gathered, Lord, to hear from your Holy Spirit, for you, God, to speak into our lives. God, give me the grace to communicate as it pertains to this word called praise, Father. Do what I cannot do, Father. Move in ways that none of us in this room can move, Father. Give us a fresh touch from God, a fresh touch from heaven, and speak to us, Holy Spirit, prophetically and specifically, Lord, as it pertains to praise, God. Move in their midst, Lord. Tonight, Lord, may we never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody who loves God, say amen. Amen. Give God one more clap. You may be seated. Just tell your neighbor, praise break. That's right. And we want to welcome all those who will watch this on our television program, A Heart After God, and also listen to this on podcast. You are in the room with us. Someone say, yeah. All right, tonight we want to continue this series, Praise Break. Now, I've been sharing how worship and praise, worship as it pertains, the question is never if we worship, it's just who or what we're worshiping, okay? And if I can go a little deeper in that statement, we're looking at who and what we worship in some of the most difficult times and some of the most highest moments in our lives. Because praise and worship isn't just only something that we do when things are even. Praise and worship actually is something we've got to really look at what we do when we're in the lowest moments of life. Because one of the first things that escapes a believer's life during difficulty is your worship, is your praise. And if you don't think the devil is not after your praise, then you misunderstood the attack of the enemy. Why does the devil want to rob your praise? Because if he robs your praise, he can rob your breakthrough. If he robs your worship, then he'll fill you with worry. It is impossible to worship and worry at the same time. It is impossible to be in a moment of just, you know, down and be praising at the same time. It is when you begin to praise, things begin to change. Tell your neighbor, say, praise changes things. Say that, praise changes things. And so when we're looking at this story in the verses we just read, and we've been looking at this thing called praise, we've got to understand that it's more than just a church thing. It's more than me trying to motivate our church to get excited for 10 minutes when the fast songs are going. Okay, it's more than just, you know, let's just get all sweaty and then we'll go home and be like, that was crazy. No, okay? It is literally understanding what moves things in the spiritual realm. What begins to cause things to shift. And I shared this morning with our office team and our devotionals that you know, there are times in your life that you will feel like you're grinding at the wheel. Like you'll feel like, why does it feel that I'm working so hard, but nothing is moving? And I'm going to tell you why. It's because we were not called to try to change things in the flesh. We are called to change things in the spiritual. And the simple part is this: either you're not praying or you're not praising. And you can in your flesh try to argue. You can in your flesh try to do all this stuff, try to get everything. But the reality is you need to get into the spiritual realm and you need to begin to say, no, the weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal. In other words, they're not physical, but they're spiritual and they're mighty through God, not through my mind, for the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody say amen. And so praise goes much deeper. Now, in the verses we just read, we see here, as I told you, that Paul and Silas are chained up. Paul and Silas are put in an inner dungeon. And the Bible zeroes in at what Paul and Silas do at this most difficult season of their life. And one of the most difficult, you know, beaten up seasons of their life, the Bible zooms in that instead of complaining, instead of going, you know, oh God, it forgot about me, the Bible says that they did something else. They began to pray and they began to praise. And the Bible tells us that things began to shake when this took place. And again, I just want to bring this back to our thinking, is that this is not put in the Bible just to give us something good to talk about. Okay, this isn't like, let's just put this story here so that, you know, Pastor Josiah will have something to preach about on a Wednesday night because he'll need something good to motivate the people with. No, this is put in the Bible because God is trying to show us a spiritual key. He's trying to give you a spiritual weapon. He is trying to give us, so to speak, the formula of how to fight through the things that are trying to fight us. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't get saved so I can lose. Last time I checked, Jesus won on the cross so that we can win, and we are called more. Are there any more than conquerors in the room? Are there any people here that know that God is for them, and who cares who's against them? If that's you in the room, would you just give God a louder clap than that? Come on, Wednesday night. If Jesus won it, then I want to win too. But what is it that about us is so many times when you say Jesus won, but I guess I'll lose? Tell your neighbor, say, you're not a loser. Just say, you're not a loser. Now, one of those items that we need to realize that helps us overcome, and I'm gonna break this down even deeper tonight. I don't know if I'll finish all the rest of my 3 points tonight, but I will preach as much as I can. I will teach as much as I can. And I believe that we're gonna have another praise party tonight. Maybe we'll see how it goes. Say amen. All right. But I just want, I wanna know is that praise is showing us here that it is an attack on the enemy that is on praise. And I believe that as we as God's people understand what praise is, it is going to help you unlock some of the things that have been stagnant in your family, in your marriage, in your walk with God. Even I believe in some of the dreams that you've been having, that the reason God can't bless it is because he can't bless you without the praise that is not coming out of your mouth. Because if he releases the blessing without praise, you'll think your complaining did it. I'm preaching. Okay? If he releases the mountain without you understanding that God, you are still good, then we will actually believe that I can nag God into my breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Just smile at me. That's all right. So God cannot release it with that type of atmosphere. That the atmosphere that the scriptures are teaching us that releases the literally the foundation shaking breakthrough, the chain breaking, you know, breakthrough is not an atmosphere of, oh my goodness, God, you're not here. Where were you? But it's an atmosphere that says, God, I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. And God begins to flex his muscle. God begins to shift things because that's the type of attitude God wants to have. Somebody say amen. Now, I said really quick, and I'm not going to take too long on this, but number one, it's already written down in your notes, but praise is an action. Someone say it's an action. So I just want to establish this really quick, is that praise is an action. It is not staying silent. You cannot think a praise. You have got to speak a praise. Okay? Praise doesn't have to be loud, but it definitely can't stay silent. Praise is an action. It is a verb. It is something in the Bible that causes us to have an action, some type of physical action, some type of spoken word. It is an action. You cannot be like, oh, I'm just praising God in my mind right now. No, you got to say it, okay? Now, Psalms 47, 1 and 2, watch what the Bible says. It says, Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is what? Awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. And I want you to see, the Bible talks about clapping hands. The Bible talks about shouting. So if you wonder why we clap in church, let me tell you why. It's because God is awesome. God is awesome. He's awesome. And so, because see, there is an attack on this. The devil would love a quiet church. Let me tell you right now, the world doesn't mind a church that's quiet. But as soon as you start speaking about that Jesus, as soon as you start making some noise, just be quiet and you're cool. Go ahead and watch you. Speak up for Jesus and watch how people start attacking you. That's why some people are afraid. But anyway, how many know we win? How many know we win? Come on, somebody. And so praise is an action, okay? I want to establish that we understand that it is an action and it's not something that I just stay silent and I don't move. Here's the second thing I want you to see as we look at the story of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas began to praise God. It was an action that then there was a heavenly reaction. And so praise starts with an action and then heaven has a reaction. But first there has to be an action on earth. And I'm gonna tell you right now, when you're praising God with an action, things are moving. Okay, things are moving. Number two, write this down. I'm gonna break this down today. What is praise? Okay, let's go here. Looking directly at the story, praise is an attitude. Write this in. Praise is an attitude. Tell your neighbor, say, have a good attitude. Come on, tell them that. All right. Point number two, back there, media team. Praise, thank you so much. Praise is an attitude. Someone say a praise attitude. A praise-a-tude. Come on. Praise is an attitude. Now, when we look at the text we just read, Paul and Silas, the Bible says that they began to praise. Now, let's jump into the text. Let's put ourselves in reality. Matter of fact, you don't even got to jump in Paul and Silas's prison. Just think about your own prisons, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the physical one. If you've been to prison, just don't tell your neighbor. You're welcome here. Come on. But how many have been in prison? Okay, I'm not talking physical one. It's just no one to know, okay? Praise the Lord. Okay. Have you ever felt like you were imprisoned by something? Imprisoned by fear, imprisoned by doubts, imprisoned by depression, imprisoned by worry, imprisoned, you know, in life where you feel like I just feel stuck and I don't know how to get out. I don't have the key to unlock that. I feel like I don't. Have you ever felt imprisoned? Have you ever felt like beat up? Now, if we're all honest, and don't lose your salvation over this one, okay? If we're all honest, when you're in those moments, what is it about us that it's easier to complain than to praise God? Let's be honest, okay? It's just so much easier to be like, well, see, what happened was, and you know, God, and you know, she and her and him, and you know, and because, and you know, if they would have just done that, and we tell God, and in those moments, let's just be real, we like have a complaining session. And we just complain about the person to God or about the situation to God. And then this, and then that, and then this, and then that. And then she said, and then I was all like, and then he was all like, and then I was like, and then she was like, and then I was like, and you know, God, you know my heart, Lord. And then I know you know my heart, God. My heart was good. They misunderstood my words. And I was all like, and then I end up in this prison. I don't know how to get out of this. And then we walk away and we're like, God, so you got to fix this. But that's not what Paul and Silas did. They weren't like trying to argue the way out of prison. They weren't like, hey, guards, you got the wrong guys. You know, you should let us out because I'm a man of God. You should let me out because I'm you know what? You don't know who I am. You know what? I do miracles. I go to church on Sunday. Do you? I read my Bible. I will one day write the Bible. Let me out. They weren't trying to use their pedigree. To be quite honest with you, the devil don't care about that. The devil don't care how many church services you went to. The devil don't care, you know, whether or not, you know, you have a big old Bible or a small Bible. The devil don't care whether, to be honest with you, he doesn't really care if you're here tonight. But I'll tell you what, he does care. I'll tell you what does freak him out. What freaks him out is if you actually go to church and you start praising and praying and pushing in and begin to let the word, then he's like, oh my goodness, they are downloading the formula to push back the gates of hell. Because when you start praising, the devil starts running. When you start praying, the enemy starts freaking out. Why? Because they're the weapon. Someone ought to just clap your hands and freak the devil out in Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, say the devil's afraid of your praise. Tell him that. Say the enemy's afraid of your praise. The enemy is not afraid of your complaining. Your spouse is, not the devil. Come on. Oh, I just want him to stop. I just want these kids to be quiet. Give them what they want. You know, that's not, the devil ain't afraid of your complaining. He loves it. Matter of fact, he will allow some of us to spin ourselves out. He'll just let you, and you're like Tasmanian devil. Be like, good. I don't even have to. Some of you, you think you're fighting the devil. No, you're just fighting your complaining. You ain't even got to the devil yet. You're just fighting complaining, a nagging spirit. You know I love you guys. Come on, I'm trying to help you, okay? I got people looking at me like, Pastor, you're being me. No, I'm helping you, okay? But what happens is, watch me now. Praise breaks the victim mentality. Because let's all be honest. Come on, I know. Come on, let's be honest in church. The truth shall set you free. We like being the victim. I was wronged. Come on, somebody. Oh, Lord, I have a right to feel wrong. And, you know, they messed me up and the devil got me, Lord. He got me, Lord. I didn't mean to do it. He got me. And we like blame the victim. And we're like, you know, nobody knows. You know, I'm just, and we like being the victim. People will even paint the picture to make them be the victim, like, I was wronged, but I'm the bigger person. You don't know, you're painting the victim picture. And we like the victim, but God didn't say, he didn't say that you are a victim. He said that you are a victor. If your name is Victor, come on, you're double blessed. But he didn't say that he gave us the victim on the cross. The Bible didn't say that on the cross we became more than victims. The Bible doesn't say that, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victim? The Bible says that we were given the victory. In other words, I got the victory in Christ Jesus, and I can't be the victim and complain. I got to get my praise on because I'm a victor, and I'm going to come out on top of this, and no matter what the enemy tries to put me in, come at me, I'm not a victim, I'm a victor, and God is going to turn this around for the good. And so even if I'm in behind locked bars, I'm not gonna be like instead I'm gonna raise my hands and begin to say, God, you are good, you're on the throne, you are awesome, I know you're gonna turn this around. Come on, somebody clap like God is on your side. Look at your neighbor and try to make eye contact with them and say, you're a victor. Come on, somebody, not a victim. And if you feel it in the spirit, just say, stop it. No, I'm saying, okay, Hebrews 13:15. No more. Victim, okay? No more victim. Come on, somebody. Praise breaks a victim mentality. It breaks it. Hebrews 13:15. Watch what the Bible says. Someone say, the Bible says. The Bible says, it says, through Jesus. Someone say, through Jesus. It says, therefore, let us, that's talking to all of us, watch this word, continually. Let us continually. Not once, not only when I feel good, continually what? Offer to God, it is my offering to him, a what? Sacrifice of what?
Praise.
Of what?
Praise.
How many know sometimes praise is a sacrifice? Sacrifice of praise. Watch this last part. The fruit of lips that closedly, no, what? Openly, what do? Profess. Okay, we got to break this down. There's so much meat and potatoes in this verse. I need a toothpick to get out of my teeth. Come on. There's all kinds of stuff here. Okay. So much in this verse. A lot in this verse. That speaks to this thing called praise. Can I teach? Okay. I love to preach. Let me break this down. The Bible says that the only reason why we can even praise God is not because my praise is so good. Like, you don't understand. My praise is really good. God loves my praise. Like, when I hit that E flat, the Lord is like, wow. Like, I just, when I get in, when I start going, everybody raise their hands, but the way I raise my hands, God just loves the way I raise my hands. You know? The way I get in the spirit. And see, people think they're better praisers than other people. Okay? You know, you don't know how to worship. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to move to the right and then the left. I keep bumping into me. You know, you ever do that? You're in church, you're going side to side, like boom, you're like, you gotta know how to worship. We're all moving to the left, then you move to the right. All right. Come on, somebody. All right. That's too much church talk for some of you guys. Yeah. You're like, you got to learn how to raise your hands. You can't just like, you know. Anyway. See, we do this, but we don't understand praise. God is not impressed with the way you praise. Okay. Matter of fact, again, I say this with respect and love, but he doesn't care about the move. Okay. See, we liken it unto like dance moves. Like, you're a good dancer. Like, wow, I wish I could go out there on the dance floor and be like, pew, 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 you know? Like, that person is a good praiser up there. Like, man, just the way they praise, looks like I'm not that good of a praiser because I can't do it like that, you know? That's not how God views it. The Bible actually says, watch this now, the only reason why I could even praise God is because through Jesus. That it's only, and notice how the verse starts, through Jesus. That I'm not even worthy to enter into the presence of God if it had not been for Jesus. That if it wasn't for what Jesus did on the cross and he shed his blood and he died on Calvary and he washed away all my sins and I received him in my life. If it wasn't for Jesus, who was a propitiation for all my sins, paid the price, reconciled me to God, I would not even be able to come into his holy presence. But because the blood of Jesus washed away all my sins, that alone should be the reason why I should praise God, because I'm able to come into his presence. Is anybody thankful for what happened on that Good Friday when he died on the cross for our sins? So watch this now. It's not about whether I'm a good praiser. It's that Jesus saved me. My attitude is, Jesus, you're my savior. My mentality is, the blood of Jesus washed away my sins and I could be in the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says that through that mentality, through that attitude, that idea that I'm going to offer God continually, not sometimes, but continually, a sacrifice of praise. Why? Because praise oftentimes is a sacrifice. Because Jesus, this whole thing started with him sacrificing his own life for you and I. It's a sacrifice of praise. And God, the Bible says, that it's the fruit of our lips. Now, the power behind this is, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice would be a dead animal. But in the New Testament, God says, you don't got to kill any more animals because my son was the final Lamb of God. But in the New Testament, what is an offering to God is our sacrifice of praise. Now, let me tie this all together. When I find myself in a moment that I want to be in a prison, I have an opportunity to sacrifice my victim mentality and begin to praise God as a victor of that is through Christ Jesus. I know that you don't feel like you won, but you're not praising God because you've won. You're praising God because he won on the cross. And so I know that I'm in prison, but if Jesus is not dead anymore, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, because he sits at the right hand of the Father and I'm seated with him in heavenly places. So even though physically I am in a prison, the Bible says, as he is, so am I. So if God, if I'm in Christ Jesus, that means as Jesus is on the throne, my power is outside and I could come outside of this. And if you got a revelation of that, it don't matter how many bills are stacking up on your kitchen table. It doesn't matter what the doctor report gave you. You're like, Jesus is healed. I know I'm going to be healed. He's my provider. I know I'm going to be provided for. And so your mentality is, if Jesus got up, I can get up. And so it's a mentality. So watch this now. When your praise comes from that, then you have an attitude, no matter what situation you find yourself in, that you can break out of that. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because outside of that mentality, what ends up happening is we go through the motions of the action, but we lose the inner attitude of praise. Because we can actually think that I'm going to praise so loud. What I'm going to do is somehow God's going to be like, oh, let me see. Like heaven has a loud-o-meter. And he's like, oh, you're almost there. Sorry, you're going to stay in prison. Okay. Okay. We think like, oh, if I yell out, I got tired. Man, maybe next week I'll get my breakthrough. You've heard me say this before, but there are a lot of loud places that have no breakthrough. Okay. A lot. I've been to some of those football stadiums. Come on, somebody. Who do I want to pick on today? Okay, come on. Okay, see, they said it at me. So there's a lot of loud football stadiums. Ain't no breakthrough. There's a lot of loud baseball games. There's a lot of loud clubs, a lot of loud parties. There's no breakthrough because praise is not so much how loud it is. Praise is found in the depths of it, not in the decibels of it. In the depths of it. It's found in the depth of my understanding that where my praise comes from, it doesn't come from because I'm a good praiser. My praise comes from because Jesus won the victory. And through Jesus, I have an attitude of a victory. And so I'm not going to adopt an attitude of a victim, no matter what my baby daddy did, no matter what my baby mama did, no matter what my boss is doing, no matter what that person is saying and influence over me. That is, they do not determine whether or not I come out of this. What determines my future is Jesus, and therefore I could praise God. It don't matter if I'm in the corner office as the CEO or I'm locked up in the lowest pit. Jesus, 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 I can lift my hands and it moves the hand of God. Somebody, someone give God a praise from the place of Jesus. Boom! And it moves heaven because you have a revelation that through Jesus, I got victory. And this gives you such an attitude, watch this now, such an attitude that you operate through life from the position of Christ. Okay, watch this. It's important because a lot of people miss this, all right? I am physically here with you right now, but I am positionally with Jesus. Okay? Like he's my savior. He's my savior. And so I am physically with you, but spiritually positioned in Christ. So no matter what you do to me, you can't move my position from Jesus. You don't got that type of juice. So no matter what you do to me physically, you come up here and be like, "Tui." Don't do that, please. We got security. Okay. You could do whatever you want to me physically, but you can't move me positionally in Christ. Someone's going to get it. And when you get it, you can do what you want to this flesh, this carne. I've been getting tanned. I've been on the sun a lot. Praise the Lord. But you can do what you want with this meat. It's whatever, right? You could try to afflict this with disease, whatever, physically, but you can't touch me positionally with Christ. Okay. Physically, you could throw whatever bill you want, devil, but you can't touch me positionally with Christ. Okay. Now, here's what happens. We tend to look at our condition that we think determines our position. I'm gonna get it, come on. I feel like running right now. You better be careful. I'm old school, okay? I'll like run 4 laps right now. You guys don't even know. Back in the day, because people start getting nervous when I talk like that. Like, Pastor, are we gonna run laps? Not yet. Okay, yeah. Wait till we get to our new building. We're gonna be running laps. Okay, sorry. All right. Stay with me. Let me teach, okay? Because from there comes our foundation, and then phew. Physically, I'm here. Positionally, the Bible says I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, okay? That's where I'm seated. I'm seated with him. So what happens is we think that our condition moves our position. So because my condition is severely beaten, because my condition is I feel like I'm in prison, we think that our position with Christ, Jesus was like, get away from me. And then we lose our praise. And the enemy says, I got her. All I had to do was let her boyfriend tell her she was worthless, and she thinks Jesus thinks she's worthless. And now she thinks that she has been demoted from her position of Christ. I got her. And now she walks around as a victim. And now she complains. If I only had pretty hair like her. Don't worry, it's not even real. Come on, somebody. Amen. You can buy it too. Just joking. I'm sorry, I'm a real talk church. All right. But he gets you in a victim. And so guess what? You're in the prison longer. Because you think positionally you're not with Jesus no more. And you lose your victory. All the devil had to do was to lay you off that job, and now you think that you got laid off from heaven. Oh, come on, somebody. And now you, now guess what? Now it's like, man, that's it. It's over. It's done. I'm gonna lose my house. You know, it's done. I'm gonna lose everything. And then you lose your praise. And now you don't even realize that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And if you would ever get a revelation that my condition does not remove my position that is in Christ, then the devil, no matter what he does to you, you will be like Job, where Job says, yea, though he slay me, I will bless the Lord. I will bless the, yeah, oh, who am I talking to tonight? That I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be on my lips. And when you start to do that, the devil doesn't know what to do with you. He can't contain you. He can't put you in a box. Why? Because he tried it on Jesus. He tried to put him in a tomb. Well, guess what? He held on to him for one day. He even held on to him for 2 days. And some of you have been there for 1 year, 2 years, but I'm telling you, the third day is coming. Your breakthrough is coming, but don't you lose your praise. Don't you lose your shout. Don't you lose the sacrifice of praise, because wherever there is a sacrifice, God responds with fire. And so when you open your mouth and you say, God, I'm going to lay on this altar my victim mentality, God says, I got to respond with fire from heaven. And when fire, God responds to every sacrifice. And so when you got a sacrifice in your apartment, God's going to show up. If you got a sacrifice for him in your office, in your closet, in a dark place, God says, wherever there's a sacrifice, I shall show up. And so you got it. You don't have to carry around in the Old Testament like they carried an old lamb and sacrifice it. God says, the sacrifice is in your mouth. The sacrifice is in your mouth. It is in your confession. Why? Because the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if it comes out of your mouth, it's proof that it's inside of your heart. In other words, I already sacrificed that victim mentality. I already sacrificed that nonsense. I already sacrificed that lack. And I decided, even though physically I feel in prison, spiritually I'm positioned. So therefore, I'm gonna open it and give him a shout. I'm gonna give him a thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna give him a hallelujah. I'm gonna give him a glory to God. I'm gonna give him a you're too good. I'm gonna give him a you're awesome. I'm gonna give him a I don't care what my ex did. All I care is what you did on the cross. Who am I talking to tonight? Would you give God a shout? Go ahead and sacrifice. Sacrifice it. Sacrifice it. I'm going to lay this at the altar, God. Tell your neighbor, say, lay it at the altar. You see, there's a lot of people who got a complain in their mouth. But I want to know, do you got a praise in your mouth? There's a lot. I know if I told you, hey, tell me what happened. See what happened, and you'll keep me for an hour. And I'm not saying I won't be there for you. But I just wonder, is there any praise in there? Is there any praise in there? Because complaining ain't going to move heaven. God's not going to be like, you just complained me to death. Here you go. It's not going to happen. But when a believer reaches, they reach into their own lives and they say, my offering to you, God, on this Friday night, on this Wednesday night, my offering to you, oh God, there ain't nothing in my bank account, but I got something, God, it's right in here. It's like all up in there. And God, what I'm gonna do is, God, instead of licking my wounds, I'm gonna bring to you my praise and I'm gonna lay it at the altar, and God is gonna, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know who I'm empowering tonight, but God is about to show up where your pity party was. You're gonna turn it into a praise party, and now the breakthrough is gonna happen in your house, in your kids' rooms, in your living room. Is finally gonna have a family because you changed your attitude and now it's full of praise instead of complaining. Somebody give God a shout, give God a praise.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.